Hibbard comes home. The pitch swung on and missed. The throw to second is in time. It's a strike him out, throw him out.
Kick it out left corner. DeAndre wide open for three. He hit it again.
Raider going deep over the middle. Caught. Rucker across midfield, and he's going to take it all the way to the house. 79 yards.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast, the A-State podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up on this final episode of 2025, we'll look back at some big accomplishments for A-State over the last year. Also, a big staff change for the football program. We'll talk about that. Men's basketball getting set to begin a four-game homestand. But we're going to spend the bulk of our time today talking women's basketball. They've now won 9 in a row. They're sitting at 11-3 on the season, 2-0 in conference play. The most recent victory coming Sunday afternoon in Fayetteville as the Red Wolves defeated Arkansas 81-72. And here to talk about it, redshirt senior forward from Little Rock, it's our friend Winter Rogers. How you doing, Winter?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. This is a big deal because Corey Rucker was the first ever student athlete just a few weeks ago to make a repeat appearance on the Second to None podcast. You're the second one to do it, so only the big dogs get to do this a second time around.
Plus, your record won't ever get beat because there's probably the new policy is that you can't be on here until you can't transfer out ever. So, I mean, nobody. I don't think anybody else is ever going to get to catch you and Ruck and do it twice.
Oh, gosh. I'm honored. Very honored.
Winter had 6 points, a team-high 8 rebounds, 3 steals in Sunday's victory at Arkansas. And we're going to get into the season and everything that's going on with the program itself. But I want to start with Sunday's game. You're an Arkansas kid, so how special was it to go into Fayetteville and pull that off?
It meant so much. So this is my third year here at Arkansas State, and this is my third time playing Arkansas. So to finally get that win, I think like we haven't beat them since like
2005.
2005 is insane. And also like it meant like a lot to me because Arkansas, they never like really recruited me. They did recruit me, but they never offered me. So like I've been trying to get this win over Arkansas for a while. I'm not going to lie.
So you're the only Arkansas kid on the team, and obviously Dez is an Arkansas kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have 4 teammates who played in this game with you last year.
Mm-hmm.
But how did y'all make the other 5 understand? Sure, this is not just going to play. Even a chance to beat an SEC team, this is different. Like, well, you got 5 kids who really hadn't spent much time in the state of Arkansas and maybe don't know the history. Like, how did you smarten them up to what this would mean?
Well, it's just like the emphasis, you know, like we were kept saying, we run Arkansas. We want to be the team that runs Arkansas. Because, you know, everybody, Arkansas, Razorbacks, like, you know, they run Arkansas, but we can run Arkansas too. And then also, Dez put a lot of emphasis on this game is important for like later on because we're trying to get back to March Madness. We're trying to get back to the tournament. So if we win big games like this, maybe we can get a higher seed, you know, this upcoming tournament. And then we're not playing UConn the first round. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That started pretty immediately back in March, and not to bounce around a little bit, but kind of to your point is that maybe that first time you guys were happy to be there, but immediately kind of after UConn was over, the focus started, hey, what do we do to not just be happy to be here, but you know, not be in a 15 seed
noise.
And play and the team's going to win the national championship.
Yeah, and that's the goal. That's why we have like, we had a tough 9-con. We dropped a couple, but we beat Houston, we beat Arkansas, and that's really important for the seeding, you know, later on down the road.
Thought it was really cool. First time since the 06-07 season that an A-State team has had multiple victories over Power 4 opponents in the same season. You mentioned the Houston victory. Yeah, it's been since 2005 since the Red Wolves defeated the Razorbacks. But in all honesty, Winter, there really hasn't been that many opportunities to play.
Yeah.
It's just been these last several seasons where you've been able to go up to Fayetteville and play that game. It's been the theme, though, just trying to be the first and kind of goes back to last season and to be able to scratch that off the list and say, hey, you were part of the first team to go into Fayetteville and win. That I'm sure that has a special meaning to it.
It really does. We've been focusing on this game for a while, too. You know, it hasn't just been like this last week. I think we scheduled Arkansas this year like kind of later on because we usually play them a little earlier, but we scheduled them a little later because we knew we kind of had our have our groove by now. So we've been preparing for this game for a while, and we did what we needed to do at the end of the day.
It wasn't really as close as the score.
Yeah.
I mean, up 19 with 5 minutes to go. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not trying to troll anybody because I think anybody that would be trolled by this probably not listening. The better team won the game. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like it was some fluke deal.
Yeah, and you did what you've been doing all season. You forced them into a season-high 29 turnovers.
Yep.
You've been doing that to everybody. You went in and played your game. It's just a fun brand of basketball you guys are playing. I mean, you're second in the nation right now as a team in three-point attempts. You're fourth in forced turnovers. And to go out there, and you've been playing in this system now, this five-in, five-out these last couple of years, but it seems like everybody is kind of embracing this style of play right now.
Yeah, and it helped like having, what, five returners that were in the system last year. Because we can kind of help, like, because we were all, like, new to it last year. We were all kind of lost. So it took a lot longer to, like, get used to it. But now since, like, we watched games we played in last year, like the championship game, we watched clips of that with the newcomers. And they really, like, are just taking it in. They trust us. They trust the OGs. So we took them in our wing and we taught them the system. They know how we want to play. And they just took it, and, like, we're all running with it right now, so.
Talked with Marley Dickerson, one of the newcomers, after mm-hmm. one of the wins. She came and did a TV deal with us and said, all right, so when they're recruiting you, they tell you, and you can see the film, and they tell you how they play.
Mm-hmm.
But still, how much getting used to does it take to know that I'm going in right now and I'm coming out in 2 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, okay, it takes some getting used to. So, I mean, obviously, you've been at 2 years. How much getting used to does it take to know that when you go in, it's to go empty the tank for about 2 minutes and you're coming right back out?
It does take a minute because you have to get your flow a lot quicker. You know, you're not out there for a while to be able to get your flow. So once you, like, adjust to that, and mind you, we run so much in practice, like, we are never tired in the game, really. Like, when our 2 minutes are up, we're like, oh, gosh, the 2 minutes already passed. Like, we're already coming back out. And then you're just on the bench, like, waiting to get back in, like, you're ready. So I love playing in this system. I'm like all my teammates do too, because you really never get winded, really. And it just is so cool to see like the other team just gassed. Like Arkansas was gassed last night, like in the second quarter.
The thing about it is and you look at kind of the things that happened in the program to get us to this point, like this ain't for everybody to some extent. You got to check your ego at the door a little bit.
Yep.
And, you know, to kind of what you guys says, everybody eats.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't go get any old player you want and put them in this and think they're going to be okay with it.
Exactly. You have to, we always talk we over me. You know, anybody can, like, I think we had, like, seven different leading scorers, like, in seven different games. Like, like you said, anybody
can. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's, like, it's so cool. Like, you can't focus on one player. We play so many people, like, it's very hard to scout us because, you got to scout 12 kids. We got 12 kids on the roster. It's just tough for the other team with this system as well.
One thing that I loved about last year was just how you guys embrace being the underdog the way you did. Now, you're not the underdog as much anymore, but I know you were kind of able to wrap your arms around it mm-hmm. this past Sunday when you went into Fayetteville. And one of the cool stories from last year, and I know some of our fans probably remember this, came from what you did in the locker room. You'd find out the team's percentage mm-hmm. chance of winning mm-hmm. and put it on the board before the game. Are you still doing that?
Yeah, I didn't do it. I actually don't even know the percentage. I don't know if y'all know from this Arkansas game, but we didn't really look at it. But I still, you know, write on the board. This time I wrote, we run Arkansas from the jump and then no fear. This is what I wrote on the board before the Arkansas game.
I believe I had somebody tell me, I asked that same question. I think the matchup indicator was they had a 78% chance of winning.
Oh, gosh. I didn't know that.
Some dummies figured that number out, didn't they?
I know. Like, what?
And what was it for the conference championship game against James Madison? You had a 12% chance,
mm-hmm.
and yeah. you put that on the board.
I put that on the board. I did. Because it's just like, I don't like those. I feel like it's politics.
Well, you turned it around and used it for good, though. Yeah. I mean, you used it as an inspiration.
Motivation. We use it as motivation.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea: customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same: you first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Continuing to visit with Winter Rogers here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by the Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. You finished the calendar year, 2005. This program goes 28-5. Did you realize that until all that started coming out?
No, I actually didn't.
Well, I thought it was interesting. Started 2025 on an 11-game win streak, ended on a 9-game win streak.
Wow.
You'll go to the NCAA tournament. 1 year ago today, as we're sitting here recording this on December 29th, a year ago today, you're 4-7. You went to App and played like dogs. It's hard to believe that was just a year ago. What's happened since?
I know, and that was a major turning point. I don't know if Dez ever talked about it, but after the App State game, we really had like a heart-to-heart.
She talked about it.
Oh, yeah.
We had a major heart-to-heart, and then after that, I feel like we all got on the same page, and it was rolling.
Now, the thing she has said about that, and I don't know that we probably have asked a player, is that she said everybody got to say their piece, and then you guys got to say stuff to her. She said, I didn't necessarily like hearing it all, but to let them say it. She said you guys weighed in on what you wanted practice to look like and all kinds of things. And after that App State loss a year ago, everybody kind of emptied the tank and put it all on the table.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what was said. I think it was some things about the press and stuff, but did she listen? And we listened to her, and we were just like, all right, we either do this or we don't. We got to go. Because we knew we were better than what we were playing.
You had the historic season last year. I know you had high expectations for yourselves coming into this year after a conference championship win and going to the NCAA tournament. You had some players coming back, but you had some new players coming in, and it was going to take a little time to click this year. So you had the big App State moment last year. This season, you had UCA.
Yep. We had another heart-to-heart after that game.
Look, the season started. You're 2-3. Now you've won 9 in a row. But you were in the locker room a long time after that UCA game. So how did that compare, and how did you guys kind of use that as motivation going forward?
It was very similar. You know, Dez talked to us for a while. She went around one by one and asked us our opinion on certain things. Well, we think we could be doing better right now. Why are we? Because we didn't play good at all against UCA. Why are we playing like that? But once again, we all listened to this. She all listened to us. And after that, we were rolling.
Now, credit UCA. They're a good team.
For sure.
But I know you guys were disappointed in the effort. And I know Dez didn't want to go back for her homecoming.
Oh, yeah.
And have it go like that.
Yeah. I was sick after that game. I was sick. Because I wanted to win that game, too, like for Dez. We all did. It didn't work out, but I mean, we're rolling now.
So. If you got a mulligan, because, I mean, I guess, you know, the options would be Ball State. You know, in the opener, you missed 17 free throws and lost by two. The UCA, obviously just not a very good performance. Mizzou, kind of a bad quarter, more so than a bad performance. So if I gave you a mulligan on one of them, which one would you want to run back?
UCA.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because it was just off from, like, the whole game. We weren't playing to our potential. And also, it's in-state.
Yeah.
So
it's an old story anymore. I mean, you've been playing for your big sister for 3 years now. How strong is your relationship?
It's very strong. And I feel like it's gotten even stronger, like, these past 3 years. You know, also just being in Jonesboro with her, too. I can always go to her house and stuff. We hang out. But it's just cool because we both have grown in so many ways these past 3 years. And we've both gone through so much, like, so much adversity. And just to, like, pull through and, like get through the other side together, like, you know, we're just so proud of each other.
And then watching the Arkansas game Sunday, I mean, obviously you're playing, Dez is standing there, and then your mom and dad are sitting in the Hollywood seats.
I know. We did the starting lineups, and I did my little handshake at the end after they called my name. I hear, win, win. And I turned my mom, my dad, I'm like, oh my gosh, what are y'all doing?
They were sitting on, they were sitting in those seats between the bench and the scores table, the Hollywood seats.
All right.
Yeah, so it was cool to see them. I dapped them up for the game.
Well, it's absolutely no surprise for them to be at the game.
Oh,
but
yeah.
In those seats, I'm sure that was a surprise.
Yeah, it was a surprise. I didn't know they were going to be sitting there that close.
That's one of the cool things. I mean, your family is just so tight, and mm-hmm. they're always there supporting y'all. And yeah. I'm sure that's something you don't take for granted.
Oh, no. At the Arkansas game, I probably had like 15 family members there. Like, I had all my cousins, all my sisters there. Nephews, nieces, my aunt, everybody was there cheering on. You could hear them the whole game.
I'm going to give it to your dad because, I mean, obviously, sitting in that seat, they get shown a lot. And mm-hmm. not one time did I see him doing any coaching, even though he was sitting right on the floor.
I feel like he's calmed down over his years. He's calmed down a little bit. And he knows Dez got it, you know.
All right. How do you keep this going? Obviously, you got a lot of momentum mm-hmm. going in to 2026 and the rest of the season, but how do you build on what you have right now?
You know, we're playing well right now, but there's always something, you know, we can work on. Like, we'll watch film today over the game yesterday. We'll look at, like, tweaks we can make, what we can do better, what can we do more, what we can do less of. And then the next day in practice, we'll sit there and we'll work on that. And so we're just going to continue to build and build and build and just keep getting better and better and better. So it's only up from here.
I had a couple of things I want to ask you, and it's kind of the random things. Number one, I want to make a comment because something we've seen now, I think probably the last 2 weeks, the two wins in the conference last week carried over to the Arkansas game, is that we've seen Eve Cox has kind of flipped the switch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much better has she made you guys the last couple of weeks?
Oh, my gosh. Because Eve she has so much potential, and she's so athletic. So I think she had like 3 blocks last night. Like, she's helping a lot with that.
Yeah.
She's scoring. She's getting rebounds and O-boards. And, like, you know, with our system, we have to have a lot of extra possessions. So those O-boards and blocks and things like that, it matters. Like, all them things matter. So she's helping out a lot.
You mentioned O-boards, and I would ask about that because, like, you have some sort of knack mm-hmm. for getting offensive rebounds. And I kind of wanted to see what the secret sauce is there. What makes you such a good offensive rebounder?
I feel like it's just my positioning. Like, wherever they shoot the ball from, I know where I need to be. And then, like, also I'm undersized. So a lot of times I'll jump up and I'll tip it to myself to get the rebound. So, because, you know, I'm not as big as the other posts.
Well, I mean, you got one, I mean, late in the game, I'll say, I mean, you're smart. I mean, you're a smart basketball player. I mean, you know, late in the game Sunday, you know, ball kind of going in that right corner toward our bench. And you find a way to reach over somebody and just kind of keep it in play,
mm-hmm.
save a possession. And I'm also interested to hear you mention we got to have more possessions. I don't know that this part gets talked about as much in what you guys do, is that a big part of what makes this thing go is just you take so many more shots
yep.
than the other team. And guess what? It stands to reason, if you shoot it more, you don't have to shoot it as well. And, like, I mean, I think you took maybe 24 more shots than Arkansas yesterday. So, I mean, how big a deal is that? Is that one of the things you guys are after, to just shoot it more often?
Yes, like, literally before games, Dez are right on the board. We want 20-plus more possessions than the other team. And it matters because, like, if you do that, and the way we shoot the ball, which we're a good shooting team, like, it's going to be hard to beat us. You know, we're just shooting the ball so many more times, and we're going to make about half of them.
It feels like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I want your take on this. Last year seemed like a team that shot the three real well
mm-hmm.
and also pressed. This year feels like a team that's just going to dog you defensively.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, they take a bunch of threes and hit a bunch of threes, too. It's almost like I thought the three-point shooting was the main thing last year. But right now I feel like with this team, the defense is the main thing.
Yeah, and as to, like, we're faster this year, like, in all positions. Like, our four spot is faster. You know, our guards are faster. So, you know, the press is, like, more effective because we're able to get in the traps quicker. So I feel like we're a faster team overall, and we work on defense every day. We have a bunch of players that play great defense. So we have a lot, you know, we place emphasis on defense, but we're more capable this year, I feel, of playing like high pressure defense. So of course that helps us get more possessions and stuff.
You see yourself going into coaching soon?
Oh no. I'll be a terrible coach.
I don't believe that at all.
I do want to continue playing though, but I'm not gonna be no coach. I'm not gonna be a good coach.
All right, so you would like to continue playing after this year?
Yeah.
That'd be great. What about after you're done playing? What do you see yourself doing now?
oh, I'm going to go to PT school. I was going to go straight into PT school and apply, like, after this year, but I'm just, like, I'm thinking about it. It's going to be so hard to give it up. So I'm going to try to go overseas for maybe a couple years, come back and do PT school, because I can always come back and do that. I can't go back and play basketball after PT school.
Right. Your dad asked you, I mean, or does either one ever talk to you about coaching, or they just didn't have to? They already knew that wasn't your deal.
Yeah, they had asked me a couple weeks ago if I would ever consider. I was like, I just don't have the patience. Like, I don't know. I just don't have the patience. I don't think it's for me.
Can you yell enough? I mean, if you have to.
Yeah, I would. I don't think it would be a good fit for me.
Hey, I got one more here, and it is real random, but you got a really, really unique view on this. Most people know you. There's the youngest Rogers sister playing for your dad, senior right now. I want to know, as you've watched her recruitment, and she's now getting recruited in the day of NIL and rev share. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not but about 4 years after you got recruited by Power Programs. Yep. But how have you, watching your recruitment versus watching hers, how's that game changed in just that short amount of time?
I feel like now it's more money-based, money offers and stuff. You know, I didn't get offered no money when I was getting recruited back the day. But, yeah, that, and I feel like, you know, the visits and stuff are the same, but that's what I feel like the main thing is, you know, with NIL and stuff like that, which I wish it was like that back in my day.
Bet you did.
But it's cool, though. It's been real cool to watch her recruitment process. I'm real proud of her.
Couple of road games this week. You're at Southern Miss Thursday at 6, then at Monroe Saturday at noon. I do want your take on this before we get you out of here. Dez had the quote, it went viral a few weeks ago after a home game, talking about just the importance of getting more fans out to First National Bank Arena for these home games. So what's that mean to you as a player? I mean, how much would it mean to start getting bigger crowds in there?
I mean, everything, because you know we're a great team, and it just kind of sucks whenever you're out there and there's not many people out there. You're just like, we want to put a show on for the community, and it's just like sometimes the community doesn't really want to come out. But, like, even though whenever we do have big crowds, like that Arkansas game, there was a huge crowd. I mean, I know not all the fans was there for us, but, like, just being in that atmosphere, like, that creates another, like, energy, more energy for us and just more motivation as well. It's just like, and then just having that in the home, in our home gym and at the bank, that would mean everything. That would just give us even more energy. And I promise, like, we're going to play hard. Like, we're going to play hard. We're going to put on a show. And that would just mean, like, so much to us to have the community out here supporting us and all the hard work, because we work so hard.
Certainly deserve it.
My biggest regret out of all this is that it's still two more weeks before you guys get home, because, gosh dang, I wish you had a home game Wednesday or Thursday night. Man. Because I think you would see, I mean, watch social media Sunday afternoon or evening after that game. That's what a lot of people were talking about. Mm-hmm. So that's my only regret. Like, I was, and we probably talked about this some last week, I was actually pretty encouraged by the two crowds at the two conference home games when they were played, where students were already gone, and at one point the midweek game, the band and spirit were already at the bowl, and I was nervous and concerned about what the atmosphere could be like, and honestly, people, and you, so you could see it's kind of already turning that corner, which it does when conference play gets here. But I do hate that it's you had to go 3 weeks on the road, but y'all keep it rolling. I think people are gonna be anxious to get you home.
Yeah, I think so too.
Winter, great to have you in.
Thank y'all.
Fun catching up with you. Good luck the rest of the way.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
Back on the Second to None podcast, presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. Let's talk men's basketball. It's been a while since they played. 10 days, in fact, between games. But Ryan Pinone's team really looking good. They're 9-4 overall, 2-0 in conference play. And after playing 9 of the first 13 games on the road, they're going to begin a 4-game homestand Tuesday night, 7 o'clock tip time against Arkansas Tech. That will be the return of Joey Chama, who played the first 2 games of the season and averaged 19 points a game, through those two contests, the Red Wolves have done really well without Joey, but man, I can't wait till he gets back and gets in the fold again, because he's a really fun player to watch.
Yeah, I mean, we've done a lot of talking internally about this home stretch, because technically, you know, in a lot of ways I wish it wasn't the case, but this entire four-game homestand is getting played before the semester starts at Arkansas State. And you've got the Arkansas Tech game Tuesday night, and I know people are going to turn out just because they haven't got to see this team play in 4 weeks in person. But after that, like, right, these are huge games.
Yeah, James Madison Saturday at 2. That's a big one.
And then, you know, Troy next week. So, you know, these are not the games I would choose to play with our students not on campus. You've seen a lot of things we're throwing out there to try to help alleviate that and fill that void, because this is a big stretch of games. And, you know, I know we'll have some students there, the ones that can drive in and stuff, but it won't be like, you know, we'll be after they get back on campus. But trying to make it easier than ever to get to one of the games or all the games in this four-game home stretch.
Hope to see you out at First National Bank Arena this week.
You might, and that, I mean, you can get, kids can get $2 tickets now for all four of these games.
A heck of a deal.
And by, and then we're going to have like a, there's going to be like a kid zone inside, inflatables, and we're going to have free hot chocolate and free candy. And
yeah, we talked about that last week, you know, just how Coach Pannone has tried to make this such a family-friendly atmosphere at the men's games.
Yeah, it's interesting. And in being in meetings with him, just how big a deal that is. It is so important to him to have kids and families at the game. And that's why you see a lot of the things you've seen, is that he just wants this to be a place that people load up their families and come watch and play. And so hopefully it's we've made that easy to happen. You can still get, you know, $15 lower level seats. In fact, they've taken a couple of sections down in the student section and have those for sale at $15 a pop. If you're going to buy those, I want you to come bring a little juice with you if you're going to sit down there.
Let's talk about the big football news coming out here in the last few days. Red Wolves will have a new offensive coordinator for 2026. After 7 years, Keith Heckendorf is leaving A-State to become quarterback coach at Iowa State. And before we get into the new guy, I do want to say something about Coach Heck.
Yep.
First class, all the way. Just have always been a Keith Heckendorf fan, and as good of an individual personally as you're ever going to meet, and certainly going to miss him and Mia and the boys, and, you know, the job he did here, he's going to be missed. But he gave me a shout the other day before the news came out officially, and he certainly has mixed emotions about going to a new place, because he really loved his time here.
Well, and, you know, Mia and the boys, they'll stay a little longer and finish the school year, which is good news for my wife.
I mean, yeah,
she didn't have to fill a Mahjong seat as quickly as she thought she was gonna have to. Great people, great family, good football coach. Excited for him and the opportunity he's got up in Ames.
So Coach Jones had to go out and find a new offensive coordinator, and it's somebody he's extremely excited about. Garrett Altman, who's been Diego Pavia's quarterback coach at Vanderbilt the last 2 years, before that at New Mexico State, then at TCU, where he was a player for the Horned Frogs. But this is a really good young coach that the Red Wolves have been able to bring in as the new OC.
I bet he's got some stories to tell from his cat. He's been coaching.
I bet he does. And I'm looking forward to hearing those right here on this podcast very soon. As everybody's dealing with right now, there's going to be other changes coming. With the portal stuff, it seems like a lot, but it is what it is anymore. Everything's changing. We're not the only ones dealing with players going into the portal. It's happening everywhere you look. I will say we're going to miss Jalen Rayner. I mean, him going into the transfer portal, he's a big part of A-State history. His name is way up there in the record books. You know, I don't think it was a big surprise that he went into the portal. We'll see where he lands, but certainly a great young man and always going to be cheering for him.
Yeah, he is. He's just a good kid. I've always enjoyed any chance to have dealings with Jalen Rayner to get those 3 years, because 2 years ago, you think, well, that was a heck of a freshman year. He probably won't be back. And Well, we've gotten 2 years. Everyone felt like borrowed time a little bit. We have obviously a whole entire different conversation about the state of affairs in college athletics right now, but it just is what it is, and that's not unique to Arkansas State in any kind of way.
As we close it out here, this final episode of 2025, a good time to reflect because there were some great moments for A-State athletics this year. And I'm going to just run down a list real quick of some of the accomplishments. Just had our conversation with Winter, the women, with their historic run, winning the conference tournament, going to the NCAA tournament for the first time in program history. The men winning a share of the regular season last year. That hasn't happened that often. Football winning a second straight bowl game. Just the second time in the program's FBS history that's happened. Volleyball winning a conference championship and going to the NCAA tournament. Baseball and tennis took some really big steps forward this year. Multiple individual conference championships, men's golf, cross country, track and field. Bowling continues to be among the nation's best. And the men's golf program coming off their best fall ever, ranked 36th in the nation. And I know there's some things we're leaving out here, but just top to bottom, 2025, one of the best overall athletic seasons that Arkansas State has ever had.
Yeah, it's not common to have so many things, so many sports going well at the same time, but it's been the case. And yeah, the calendar year 2025 is a good one. We talked about the year for women's basketball with Wynn a minute ago, but yeah, they started the year on a win streak, ended it on one, and microcosm of kind of across the board. Good, strong year for all of our sports. If you look at bowling, Coach Kostick's probably listening to this saying, oh, we didn't have a very good year last year, and he's just based on the fact they didn't go to the Final Four.
They've raised the bar for that program.
He's over here. He walked in the door apologizing when they got back. Yeah, we're going to get it better. It's like, come on, dude. It's pretty dang good. So, yeah, it's neat how many of the programs are trending up at the same time.
You got anything you want to mention before we get out of here?
No, just you go to astateredwolves.com/holidays or go to any of our social media because we've been – putting it out there left and right. We've also gotten a lot of some area schools that have helped get that message out to their families and their districts, and City of Jonesboro with getting that messaging out to all the kids in the City Stars program to help us get those families out there. I think if you bring your family, you'll have some fun Tuesday night or Saturday or next week, and then hopefully just kind of keep coming because the men's teams play well. Again, it's weird that they haven't been here for 4 weeks. But I think people should be anxious to see them. And then, after you get past that one, Tuesday night, there's three big ones. Not that all the conference ones aren't, but in particular,
yeah,
there's some big ones coming this weekend and next week.
Thanks again to Winter Rogers coming in. Really enjoyed our visit with Wynn. Thanks to Duncan Harmon setting that up for us. Want to wish everybody a happy new year, and we hope you join us again next week for our next edition of the Second to None podcast presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and First National Bank.